Welcome to Real Money with Lisa Chastain. Over the next hour, you will hear from leading industry experts how to establish financial confidence and freedom. Her guests will motivate and inspire you to make those financial decisions that you have been thinking about for weeks and maybe even years. Now, here's your host, Lisa Chastain.
Yes, you can hear I'm clapping. Yay. We made it. We have a new setup here on Real Money, and our audio engineers are doing a great job getting us all set up. And if you're watching us live on Facebook, welcome. Listening to us live on the radio, we're so grateful you're here. And I have a really amazing guest today. I mean, they're all amazing, but I can't speak highly enough about Shane, our guest. And today's episode is all about doing it better together. Mm-hmm. And that as women, especially when we work together, when we have community together, that we all improve the quality of our lives. And ultimately, my belief is that with money in particular, when we all work together and improve our financial situations and our businesses and our families and our lives, that the world gets better. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about today, Shane.
Awesome.
Ready?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. So Shane's in the studio today with us. We're launching this new setup. And I'm grateful to be able to, like I was saying before the show, to sit down and have like more of a couch conversation with you.
Yeah.
We've been working in the community in our own ways for years now, and our paths crossed. I remember the first time that our paths crossed, it was at a NABO Women of Distinction banquet.
Yes.
And we were sitting at the same table together, and I'm like, who's this woman? And I think you were nominated that year. And I was like, okay, she seems cool. And then I had come to some events. And then over time, we've just continued to develop the relationship. And full transparency, you're my attorney.
Yes.
So you've helped my family put together our estate plan and really were the catalyst to say, okay, we got to get our shit together here. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. And you're helping me with my business. And so there's a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
Do you want to just say hi to the audience and introduce yourself briefly?
Yeah. Sure. Hi, everyone. It's exciting. Congratulations. I love doing these types of things, but especially with someone like you, who I adore. So I am Shane Jasmine Young. I'm an attorney. I'm also a wife, a mother of 5 daughters. I'm sure we'll be talking about them later. I grew up here in Las Vegas. I went to high school here, graduated from Green Valley High School, and went away to college and came back and was a practicing attorney for several years before I started my own firm, which is Young Law Group. And we are a 14-time, as of now, Best of Las Vegas winner. We've won gold. We won gold in 7 categories last year, including Best Estate Planning Law Firm and Best Women-Owned Business. So it's really exciting. I love being here in the community and really feeling like I'm here to be of service and making sure that our families and friends have what they need.
Yeah. And for those of you who are listening, you can't see Shane, but you can look her up and we'll have all of your information in the show notes. Shane walks the talk. And the Best of Las Vegas is a big deal in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's a voting process, but for my whole life, walking into, I remember specifically Payman's. Do you remember going to Payman's and seeing the Best of Las Vegas all over? Right? I know what a big deal that is, and what a real honor is for you to have those recognitions, and so deserved.
Thank you. Shout out to the RJ Review Journal.
Yes.
They do a lot of work in putting that together. Over 1 million people vote every year. So our friend over at the RJ, McKenzie, is one of those people that puts that whole production together. And it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. But you wear the badge of honor with pride.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So ready to get real?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's dig in. So I was getting ready this morning, and I told you this before the show, but for the listeners, I was getting ready this morning and I was like thinking about all the things that I want to know about you. Mm-hmm. So we've been connected in a number of ways, and I've heard you tell your story on a larger stage. So you run Women Decision Makers, which I've been a part of.
Yes.
Pretty much from
the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or it was at your office, and then we couldn't fit any more people in your office. Yep. And then it started getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. So I've heard you and Charles share your story, mm-hmm. but I want to have the opportunity to take it to a deeper level and get to know some of the real stuff. And real money has been on my heart and my mind for a really long time from a place that I believe that people's lives are inspired from hearing the real stories. There's information in being in law, me being in money. There's so much information out there. But when we hear the real stories, I feel like that's where our learning begins.
Yeah.
And then by other women hearing your story today, I believe, I know every single show, there's someone that is going to hear something from you that's going to alter the course of their life.
Yeah.
So that's the real stuff.
Okay. I'm here for it.
And then in the second half of the show, we'll talk about success. You're so successful. And I still want to know what that means. What does that mean for you and for your family? So let's start from the beginning. You were born and raised in Las Vegas.
I was actually born in New York.
Okay.
So my family, I'm the first generation that was born in the United States. So both of my parents are Indian. They were from Guyana, South America. So great, great grandparents immigrated from India to South America. Both of my parents, their families basically were there. And then as teenagers, their families separately immigrated to the United States, to New York.
What part of New York?
So New York City.
Okay.
My dad, they were pretty much in like Queens. So coming from Guyana, it really it's a country full of resources, very, very rich in natural resources. And, but it's very much a third world country. You know, it's very underdeveloped in a lot of ways. And the educational system was really good. My parents, thankfully, were a product of that, but they were very poor. Their families really didn't have much. And so coming to America was their opportunity to be able to really live the dream and the life that they wanted. So they moved when they were teenagers. My dad actually ended up going to NYU Stern School of Business. My parents married when they were very young. My mom was 17. My dad was 21.
Wow.
They had me when my mom was almost 21. So she was a young mom. My dad finished up school. And when he graduated from NYU, my mom was like, okay, I do not want to raise a family here in New York City. So he got a job. He was in the airline business and he got a job in Texas, where some of my mom's family was. Both of them are one of eight siblings. So they come from very large families.
Wow.
And some of my mom's sisters were in Texas. And so when we moved there, I got to spend that time with my cousins and, you know, be close to family. My dad was laid off from his job when I was probably eight.
So he worked for an airline. What did he do for the airline?
He worked in the finance department. So he was like in accounting, and then he ended up being the CFO. He had that role. When he got laid off, he was out of work for almost a year. I think he was trying to find another position. Finally, he got another job, which was here in Las Vegas. So we had to move, and that was really scary. You know, as a young kid, all I knew was growing up with my family that was there. And I moved when I was, I was nine. I was about to go into fourth grade, and we moved during this time. So it was hot in the summer and I hated it here. I had no friends, you know, no family. But once I started school and I started, you know, making connections and relationships, it was good. My dad was working as a CFO and a COO of an airline here that did Grand Canyon tours. So he was basically running the business. And then after a few years of being here, he decided to start his own airline. So I've shared this.
This is the story I know. Yeah.
He started his own airline. So he was actually really, I don't know how he did this, but he got financing, he purchased airplanes, he hired people, including an attorney, to help him make sure that everything was set up as far as the corporate side of the business. And unfortunately, some third parties took advantage of him and took control of the business away. So pushed him out completely from decision making and running the business, and they actually ran it into bankruptcy. So that was devastating. That was, I remember, you know, the first, as far as the money part, you know, like my money story, my first memories about money centered around when my dad lost his job when we were in Texas. And then when we came and he started this business, and we put everything, our family put everything into starting this business to lose it. And so that was devastating on all levels. And my dad hired another attorney to file a malpractice lawsuit. That lawsuit lasted from the time I was in middle school until I was a sophomore in college. So my whole, you know, young life, that was really what my main memory of what my dad was focused on, yeah, was this lawsuit and getting this business back. And again, put everything into this litigation. Ultimately, it went up to the Nevada Supreme Court and we lost on a technicality. So basically a statute of limitations saying that he filed the claim too late. And, you know, that was another devastating blow. But one of the things that I learned as I was going through that process, because I was the oldest of three, my dad, you know, he shared a lot of that experience with me and it really shaped my way of thinking and viewing things. You know, he was very much focused on making sure that moving forward, I wouldn't be in that situation to be taken advantage of and that I could be helpful, you know, to others that would be looking for guidance. And that's really what I took from it. Not so much, you know, for myself, but because I always wanted to help people. And if you talk to my mom, she'll share stories of how, you know, I'd come home and I'd tell her about, you know, my day at school and how like I gave my lunch to like the kid in the class that didn't have anything, or I'd bring someone home that like their parents worked and, you know, they were home alone and I felt bad and, you know, stray pets and, you know, all those things. That was the type of kid that I was. So when I saw my dad go through this experience, I really wanted to be able to do something different and, you know, help people and feel like I was being able to contribute back to that pot. But it was hard, you know, financially going through that because we really, it was up and down. Like sometimes we would have money and then other times we wouldn't because we didn't have that stability. My dad wasn't working. He didn't have his job. He went from starting this business and then this lawsuit and trying to start some other businesses. So he was an entrepreneur. He is like the definition of entrepreneur, like should have my dad's face. And next to it, like he is the one, like the big dreamer, the go-getter, the risk taker, you know, the one that so smart, one of the smartest people that I know. But it was hard growing up and not knowing.
What was that? So I hear, you know, your mom didn't work.
She didn't work for the most part. She was at home with us. So when I was younger, when I was little, she worked with my dad, in New York. She actually worked with my aunt. She had a travel agency and a real estate, business. But for the most part, growing up, she was at home. She did go back to work when I was in middle school. She kind of took some jobs here and there, but nothing really consistent.
Yeah. And okay, so you went to Green Valley.
Yes.
I went to Cheyenne.
Yeah.
We're like rivals.
Yes.
I'm totally different than Vegas. Vegas is a big little city.
Yeah.
But we were on opposite sides. But my perception of Green Valley growing up was that was where the kids with money went.
Yeah.
And so for you being at Green Valley that time, especially going highs and lows with money, how do you think that shaped your viewpoint on money growing up?
It really made me take a step back. So it made me more cautious. You know, I had, and I think that's where this, when we talk about scarcity mindset, that really was defining, those were defining moments for me. Seeing how we were going, you know, from one end of the spectrum to the next, like sometimes we would have money and then other times I was having to walk, you know, to the payphone, you know, a mile away to call family, to ask them to send money, you know, so we could pay bills. And, you know, I never wanted to have that type of insecurity around money for my kids. And so that's why I think I was just like, okay, I've got to go to school. I've got to get straight A's. I've got to do well. I have to be successful. I have to be independent. That's something that my mom taught me because she felt, you know, kind of dependent, you know, as far as like my dad was the breadwinner. My dad was the one, the head of the household that was making the decisions. And she was supporting him. And, you know, even when she was working and she was the breadwinner, it was still much of her role was deferring to him and his decision-making. And so that was one thing that she always told my sister and me, you know, make sure that you're independent, that you can take care of yourself, that you can support yourself, that you can make your own decisions. My sister and I are both attorneys.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you have two siblings?
Yes.
A sister
and a brother.
Okay.
And they're they're 7 and 8 years younger. So I'm significantly older than them, but my sister kind of followed the same educational or career path. She went to Green Valley High School. We both graduated as valedictorians. Uh-huh. We went to Pepperdine for undergrad, studied business administration, got our bachelor's there in 3 years, graduated magna cum laude. I was pregnant when I graduated.
I know. That so was hang on. If you don't know Shane, in Vegas, you know, our community is familiar with you. And yeah. I don't even know that everyone knows that backstory.
Yeah.
So when I hear that magna cum laude, Pepperdine, uh-huh. valedictorian, and you had twins
yeah.
at 21.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Charles at some in point. Yeah. Charles, hi. We love you, Charles. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So, and I think I heard the last event that maybe wasn't a planned pregnancy.
No.
I heard you say, he did this to me.
That was a joke. I know. I made a comment saying like, oh, he trapped me. That was just a joke. Babe, I love you. You didn't trap me. I love it. But yeah, we were high school sweethearts.
Yes.
We met in high school. We went to different high schools. He went to El Dorado.
Okay.
And we actually met at a track meet. And when I was 16, he was 17. So we've been together since 95. Mm-hmm. And the whole money story, it's kind of funny because he has his, but ours kind of meshed
yeah.
and then became one because we were so young. And and so he saw, you know, what was happening as far as my family and the ups and downs and, you know, how it shaped me to be more cautious or mm-hmm. more resistant to change. You know, we're talking about what my sign is.
She's a Capricorn.
So like certain things I'm like very resistant to, like,
yes,
like I like things to be comfortable and stable. And so yeah. that was something when, you know, when we had been together for 5 years at that time. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant and we were like, oh gosh, I was supposed to start law school that fall, but that's when they were born, August of 2000. So we came back home and both of our families are here.
Okay.
So we had the support of our families. And when the girls turned one is when I started law school.
Woo!
Yeah.
Okay. But you didn't stop there.
No.
So you went to Boyd Law School.
Yes. Amazing law school, by the way. Shout out to Boyd.
Totally. And at that time, they were in their limelight. I mean, they're still doing amazing things.
Oh, yeah.
But I was working at UNLV at the time mm-hmm. In 2000. Yeah. So I was in the Honors College at the time. And so being a part of those, anyway, long mm-hmm. That doesn't need to be part of the story. So you're at Boyd Law School.
Mm-hmm.
You have twins.
Yes.
And was Charles working? What was he doing?
So he was actually working valet. He was working at Treasure Island. And my mom was actually working at Treasure Island at that time. Mm-hmm. She was in reservations. So that was actually her kind of consistent job that she had for a few years. But yeah, so Charles was working. I was going to law school. I was working part-time. I was substituting for the Clark County School District. I was also working part-time at the front desk at Courtyard Marriott. And but then after I got into law school and I saw how challenging it was, I was like, okay, I think I need to focus like all of my extra, you know, time not working, but really on school because, you know, I did have a family. I had babies that
yeah.
we had at the time. I actually started in the part-time program at Boyd, which was nice. It, you know, gives people flexibility if they're working during the day
yeah.
or whatever. So I was home with the girls during the day while Charles was working. And then at night I was going to school.
Okay.
And that was, yeah, that was rough.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to get there in the second part of the show, but now you have 5 girls, which yes. you started with this story.
Yeah.
But thinking about law school and we're young, so we can do hard things mm-hmm. a lot harder when we're younger.
Yeah.
But were you tired? Were you like, how are you and Charles navigating that?
So after the first semester, I switched my schedule actually, because I didn't know what law school was about, and it's a totally different learning and educational experience. Before, you know, going to school and getting good grades, that was easy for me for the most part, but this was a totally different animal. And, I hadn't had the benefit of like a mentor or someone to kind of guide me into that process. So it was really a shock to my system, my life when I started law school. And, after that first semester, I actually had gotten the worst grades of my life. When I checked my grades that first semester, I was like, oh, oh my gosh. Okay. I need to do something different. So actually switched to the day program. I went full time during the day. Charles switched his work schedule. So he was working graveyard, which that was really hard too.
I bet.
But it was better for me as far as my law school experience to be able to go to school in the morning, focus, be able to go to the library, get things done, and then come back home and, you know, be able to separate and have that time. Thankfully I like figured it out and I was able to do well. But it was rough. Wow. It was rough that first, you know, that first year, especially. But yeah, I was fortunate to be able to have some really good opportunities while I went to law school. I got a job at like the number one firm that everyone was trying to go to.
Yeah, this is a good transition. So you went to law school. My experience of you and Charles is that you're solid. Mm-hmm. Not, I'm sure that it wasn't easy, that there was highs and lows and difficult times. And do you ever fight?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say we fight. We have discussions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've really, one of the things that we both, just based on our experience in growing up, like our parents kind of have different styles of parenting, but they, both of our parents were very much like discipline, you know, as many of our generation, you know, grew up with. But one thing that
parents.
But one of the things that we kind of made a commitment to was making sure that we were a unit. Mm-hmm. And even if we had disagreements, which we're not always going to agree, the way that we try to communicate is, you know, with love and with respect, not yelling and, you know, cussing. Like we just don't do that. And so our kids fortunately have grown up in a home where they see us, you know, they see us disagree and they see us have conflict and, you know, we irritate each other. And sometimes it's just like, oh, I just want to punch you in the throat, but
love you, honey.
Yeah. I love you. But yeah, we, you know, we have our ups and downs just like anybody else. And especially working together, which I don't know if you want to talk about that later, whatever, but, because we've had to learn how to go from, you know, high school sweethearts to being married with children and going through the experiences of trying to figure out what we were going to do, you know, when we grew up, like what our careers were going to be and how we were going to support these kids that we had and, you know, starting a business and finally like working together on that. It's been definitely, our relationship has been one of evolution and transformation. Mm-hmm. It constantly is changing. But I think that we have been able to grow closer and, you know, appreciate each other through it.
Yeah. I love seeing you work together, and that's my experience of you. So, you know, for people, I think not hearing that you had a mentor, but I know that you're on a mission now to be someone for other women and for other women to be able to learn from you. Mm-hmm. That's definitely my experience of you and Charles, is that you're committed to making it work.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. And you're a team. So yeah. That's really cool. Which this show isn't about you, Charles, but it's worth noting.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that you did work through it together and it was work.
Right.
Because when you see successful people, and again, another reason that winding down to the break that I started the show is that you see people out and about in the community and you see their successes, and there's always a backstory.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that work is what gets you to this place. And so we're going to break here in a couple of minutes, but there was a transition. So you graduated from law school and then you got a job at a law firm.
Yes.
And how long were you there?
I was there for about 2.5 years. Okay. And at the time it was the only national firm that had an office here in Las Vegas. So it was only local firms prior to that.
Yeah.
And there's a whole other story behind that. But so it was a really good experience to be there. I had amazing attorneys that I worked with that mentored me, you know, the partners there that I still have relationships with. And, but then I started getting the recruiting calls around my second year. And that's when the market was booming and other offices, other national or regional firms were opening up offices here and looking to hire. And I really wasn't interested in moving, but there was one firm that offered some other opportunities that I couldn't get at my existing firm. And so I actually took that opportunity and I went there. It was Ballard Spahr. I started at Snell and Wilmer, and then Ballard Spahr was the other firm that I was at from about 2007 to 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll pick up with that story after the break. Thank you for sharing that history. And And somewhere along the way, which we'll talk about, you had three more kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where Ballard Spar picks up too. Okay.
You had three more beautiful, beautiful daughters. Yeah. And there's so much I want to know is, you know, leading into the break, we've got like another minute left. Mm-hmm. Thinking about this next segment of the show, I asked you this before the show, but no, you know, looking at that journey, the mm-hmm. journey up until 2015, mm-hmm. what's one thing that you would want someone who is 10 years younger or going through their own journey? What would you want them to hear about that from you?
I would say that, I would listen, you know, like listen to your intuition. There's so many things that I think were running through my mind at different times. And then there was that other part of me, you know, that the scared, the fearful part that held me back. So I think, you know, kind of getting past that and really relying on your circle, you know, mm-hmm. and even expanding your circle to getting people that can support you, you know, that resources that will be available to be able to really just try to even explore, not even take action sometimes, but explore the opportunities that you're interested in.
Definitely. Definitely. Cool. All right. We are going to take a short break. If you're interested in learning more about Shane and what she's up to, where's the best place for them to find you?
So our main website is younglawlive.com. So you'll get access to our on-demand webinar, all of our other resources. The on-demand webinar is where I'll share, you know, a lot about my story and really what it is that we do and how we do it differently. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, you can reach out, call me at the office. It's 702-473-5600.
Awesome. And I'm Lisa. I'm your host of Real Money. We're going to come back with Shane and talk more good things. And if you want to know more about me and what I'm up to, you can go to lisachastain.com. I've got a really awesome event coming up in August, which we're inviting our national audience to come join us, which is August 20th. And that's going to be called Money Moves. So you'll hear more about that as the show progresses. But come back in the next couple of minutes. We'll be back with Shane and we'll see you, hear you back on Real Money just a minute.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Not enough women are talking about money, and I am on a mission to change that. The truth is, so many women feel shame and guilt about the choices they are making financially. And if this is you, I want you to hear today that you are not alone. We are so capable of feeling confident about the choices we are making with our money. The problem is that for so many women, money isn't relatable. Industry experts are talking over your head, and this show is the perfect place for you to improve your confidence and relationship with money. With Real Money, I share real stories of women who are tackling their most difficult financial challenges. We are here to help you hear and understand that you are not alone in feeling lost or confused about your finances so that you can build your confidence to learn how to make the right choices today. With Real Money, you're going to learn from other women how they tackle their biggest money challenges so that you can get out there and start creating the stability, freedom, clarity, and fun you've always wanted. Join me, Lisa Chastain, each week as we talk about real money with real women for real life.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. If you have a question for Lisa or her guests, you can call into the show at 866-472-5789. That's 866-472-5789. You can also send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Here is Lisa Chastain.
Okay, we're back live with Shane Young. I told this story. I was at one of Shane's events. So Women Decision Makers has just become such a value add to our female entrepreneurs community. Mm-hmm. And I had the real honor of being a guest speaker at Women Decision Makers in May, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Or March.
March.
Yeah.
Gosh, it flew by. And it was all about abundance and about mindset and money. And I told the story, so I'm just going to tell it because I think it's hilarious. Yeah. But the first time I came to Shane's event, I got up. I was like so impressed. And like my friend Monica, hey, Monica Beasley, was like, you got to come to this event. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was like so inspired. And I got up and I was going to promote my book. And I called Shane Sean. Not once. Not twice. Three times. Yeah. And like, you were so graceful and like, so kind, and you didn't correct me or anything, neither did Charles. And then I sat down and the woman next to me elbowed me. She goes, it's Shane.
That's so funny. You know, I didn't take offense to that. I never take offense because I had a difficult name growing up anyway. My name is actually Shania and I go by Shane. That was my nickname, mm-hmm. You know, my friends and family called me Shane. And so it's just easier as far as like professionally to go by Shane. But then the flip side to that is that sometimes people think if they don't know me, if they haven't seen me, that I'm male.
Yeah.
Because there aren't really that many Shanes that are women.
Right.
So, yeah. So I still remember that. And I remember seeing your face like, oh, you were just mortified. And I was like, it's okay. It's all right.
Just a big shout out to who you are and the journey, and no one's perfect, yeah. And all the things, right? And so kind of full circle moment and super fun. And we were talking about on the break, what, you know, sharing about your, Ashley was asking about your dad's journey and mm-hmm. mom's journey to America. And it got me thinking that in so many ways, and we see this all the time. And when I look, I talk deeply about money histories with people and clients when they come on board, mm-hmm. we start thinking about how do these pieces of their lives intersect? Mm-hmm. So they can have the opportunity. We went to this mindset event yesterday, right? Like mm-hmm. you can't break cycles if you don't know what they are.
Right.
And I'm hearing you talk about your parents' experience, and they met when they were really young mm-hmm. and they got married when they were really young mm-hmm. and they had their firstborn when they were really young. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, as you're sharing your story, you did the same mm-hmm. thing.
Right.
Right. And not even being conscious of mm-hmm. it, that you met Charles young.
Yeah.
You got married. Oh, you got married. Did you get married?
We got married when I was 22 mm-hmm. or yeah, 22.
Mm-hmm. You had, what are your twins' names?
Kyra and Shira.
Yeah. Very young. And so those things thread through,
right.
But you did glean. I know you've shared this before. You did glean from your dad's experience mm-hmm. of being an entrepreneur, going through the experience of him losing everything and mm-hmm. virtually, you know, your family going through those highs and lows. Yeah. And you made a commitment. I know I think it's great that Charles was valet because that's like so Vegas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But like every kid at UNLV yep. was valet. Yeah. And still to this day, we have so many, yeah, anyway, mm-hmm. young people working valet. So yeah. You probably, I mean, I'm just going to be straightforward in the question. My experience of the story is that you weren't broke, mm-hmm. but did you at times as you were raising the kids and going through law school, were things tight?
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Things, I think I always had that in the back of my mind, just like, oh gosh, you know, like, are we going to be okay? You know, and those early years, we didn't have a lot, you know, we had to kind of get by and figure things out. And Charles and I, as a young married couple with kids, we were financially independent. We were actually independent at a much younger age, you know, even before we had gotten married, because our parents were not in a position to support us. Mm-hmm. So we were really on our own to, you know, pay for our college, to do the extra things. They didn't have the money to, you know, even spending money was just like not a thing that we mm-hmm. could depend on. So, you know, he worked, you know, jobs from when we were teenagers, you know, I worked, jobs here and there, and we really just figured out how to manage, you know, based on limited means.
Yeah.
And which was good because we learned some important things about having to budget. But we also, on the flip side, we have the mindset of, you know, like we like to enjoy, mm-hmm. you know, like we like to enjoy life. And so we kind of have tried to balance that because we were wanting to be responsible, especially because it wasn't just us. We had kids.
Yeah.
But also, you know, like enjoy being young and, you know, going and experiencing things. And of course, if we had more money, we would have taken more trips and done, you know, done other things. But I think we did a good job of kind of finding that balance while we were moving through until we were in a more financially secure position.
Did you make any mistakes in your 20s that you look back and you go, okay, here's where we could have, I mean, we all make mistakes.
Oh yeah.
But where were some of those things that you learned from?
You know, when I turned 18, I got into a lot of credit card debt early. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because I was spending money. It was to help support my family, mm-hmm. Because they were still financially,
you know, like your parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, when I graduated from Pepperdine, I had not only some student loans, mm-hmm. which actually is not that much compared to what it could have been. But I also had, over $30,000 in credit card debt. And so when I was trying to apply for things, even when Charles and I were trying to like get a new car, because the car that I had no AC, and here I was 8 months pregnant, about to have babies. Yeah. In the summer in Vegas. So it was, those were some hard things that we had to figure out. And it wasn't really because of decisions that we made because we were reckless or irresponsible, sure. but because we were trying to help, you know, and then we had to kind of dig ourselves out of a hole. And then, because we were trying to help in another situation with, our family members, I took on a debt, mm-hmm. With respect to this real estate investment that ended up leaving me holding the bag and like totally screwed up my credit. So for years I didn't have a credit card, because one, I couldn't get one. Mm-hmm. And two, because I didn't want to charge things on a card if I didn't have the money for it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really until I was in my 30s, maybe even mid 30s, that I really started using credit cards, because I was just like, I can't, you know, once I got out of that debt situation, you know, those particular debts, I still had other debt. I still had student loans. I mm-hmm. still had a mortgage or mortgages and, other responsibilities. But, yeah, if I could, I would have made other choices and just set more boundaries and not been so willing to compromise when I knew the situation yeah. was not going to look good. And there were some of my other family members that tried to help and tried to intervene, but then that caused other right. issues. so that was one, those were hard things to overcome financially for sure.
Yeah.
You know, as we were trying to build our new lives, and having this baggage that we had to carry around for so long.
And not knowing the family dynamic, I see similar stories happen for mm-hmm. men and women, professional men and women, that you're building your lives, mm-hmm. you're in law school, family needs help. Mm-hmm. You know that you have earning potential, mm-hmm. and you know, we're young. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And so that's a very common thing that comes into our mm-hmm. world as a money coach, where women are like, I have all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I love the work that I do, is that mm-hmm. you don't have to navigate it alone. How did you and Charles navigate a lot of that on your own?
Yeah, we did. And I think because we're very similar in that we're very generous and big-hearted individuals. And one of the things that my sister always tells me is like, you know, you always just see like the good in people. Mm-hmm. And even though I see the bad, I see the negative, it's like, it just kind of like fades away. And I only see the rosy picture. And then sometimes I get in situations where it's like, oh, you know, like I knew better, I was trying to help, and then it ends up not working mm-hmm. out. But yeah, we did, we had to navigate a lot of it by ourselves, and we had to, you know, put things off or put things on hold because we couldn't qualify for things on yeah. our own. But, you know, the good thing is we've always been there to support each other. And looking back on it now, even sitting here talking to you, I can't imagine being in his situation, because a lot of it was my baggage. A lot of it was like my problems or my family, not so much his, but he was just along for the ride and was wanting to just support, you know, what would make me happy and what would be helpful, you know, to our family collectively. So, you know, I am grateful that he is the person that he is. But yeah, it was really hard. It was really hard. Mm-hmm. And I still have those same struggles today with, you know, wanting to help and wanting to say yes to everyone and having a hard time setting some of those boundaries. You know, even today this morning I was dealing with some other family,
yeah,
you know, issues, not related to money, but, you know, planning, which, you know, I saw it happening and I tried to step in and I tried to shift things the other way. And, you know, no one wanted to listen,
right.
You know, and now it's like, Shane, come save the day. It's like, what do you expect me to do now?
Yeah.
So those things I think have really played a huge part in my financial and money journey, is like my family and the expectations that they've placed on me and the positions that I've been in because I've sacrificed or tried to help, mm-hmm. or, you know, been in a position to help when, you know, they weren't.
Yeah. I asked that question. And then again, throughout the show of, you know, what do you want someone who's listening to this show to glean from and to take away? And there are so many women, mm-hmm. and the show is for women primarily. So mm-hmm. I'll just lean into the female conversation, mm-hmm. women who are talented, mm-hmm. who make good money. Mm-hmm. There's no question that you make good money. You
right.
make great money mm-hmm. as an attorney, yeah. and that then you have your shit together, mm-hmm. and we have these families. And I talk about this in my book, is that our families have so much that we're connected to, mm-hmm. and we do want to help, and
yeah.
we do want to support, and we do want to make a difference. And where you are today, you joined a couple of private firms, mm-hmm. you joined the national firm, and then at some point you decided to go out on your own. Mm-hmm. Now, I may not have this story correct,
okay.
but I think I heard you at one point say that it wasn't your choice to leave the firm.
So it actually, when I left Ballard, I went to a private company.
Yeah.
So it was the general counsel there for 2.5 years.
Okay.
So I got laid off from that position.
That's what
happened. Yep. And so I knew that was going to happen at some point, because when we were hired, so my sister and I actually were hired at the same time for this company. We worked together.
Okay.
And we knew that they were trying to sell the company, and mm-hmm. that at that point we probably wouldn't have, you know, our jobs, depending on what that looked like. But it happened about 6 months earlier than I anticipated, where I was let go because they were merging with this other okay. company. And at that time I had nothing in place as far as my next step.
Mm-hmm.
And
what year was that?
This was 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah. July of 2017. And so I look back at that time, and I don't know how, but somehow I just kind of went into autopilot and was like, okay, I guess we're doing it now. And I think I thought for about 30 minutes, like, or I may have gone on LinkedIn, like, oh, let me see like what jobs I can apply for, like what postings might be, you know, a good fit. And then when I was talking to my husband, he was like, so like, what do you want to do? Do you want to do our own thing now, or do you want to try to find another job? And I was like, I think it's time. I think we just do it. And for me, like even saying that now, it like gives me goosebumps, because I have no idea what I was thinking at that time. He's always been the one that's like, yeah, let's go do our own thing. Let's start our own firm. We can do it. And I was the one that was so fearful, or stuck in fear, or, you know, even in a state of like paralysis, because I was so scared of failing.
Yeah.
And because of the history, because I saw what happened with my dad and his business and his businesses and what that life looked like, the uncertainty, I was like, well, you know, Charles, you can go do that. You know, you can go do your own business stuff. But I have to have the stable income, because we've got, you know, kids, we've got
five.
A family.
Well, yeah. And two going to college.
Right.
Yeah. Around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was really the scary part for me, was letting go of that stability with the, you know, I was making really good money. I was at really good, you know, in really good positions as far as my career. And when I was let go and we made the decision to start the firm, you know, I had zero clients. It wasn't even like I had a book of business. I had zero clients. And thankfully, when I started the firm, I was able to take clients that I wasn't able to take previously, mm-hmm. you know, in my other jobs. And, And even the job that I was let go of actually hired me, you know, as their outside counsel. So that was great. That worked out. And then they tried to rehire me as their general counsel for the new company. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't think that's going to work now. but it also opened up all these other opportunities to really work with clients that I wanted to work with and do the type of work that I wanted to. And that's really where my estate planning process and practice really bloomed, because previous to that, I was only able to do a little bit of that type of work and primarily on the pro bono side, where I was volunteering my time, trying to get people out of messes that were created because they didn't plan, plan for it.
Wow. What was that like? So going from, I think, I don't know exactly how lawyers make money in private practice, but it's billable hours.
Yeah.
And you get paid out from cases and those kinds of structures. General counsel, I guess you're on a salary.
Yeah. Okay. So it's actually a salary with both in the private firm and with the in-house job. But we would get bonused based on, you know, with the law firm, I would bill, you know, so we would bill clients. So every 6 minutes, you know, it was a 0.1 that we'd bill clients for. And so the firm would collect that money, and then based on our billable hours and what was collected from clients, you know, different factors would go into how we were compensated on the bonus side.
Okay.
So I had my base salary and then bonuses. And then with my in-house position, it was really just the salary. They really did not bonus. And I remember going into that job, and I actually took a significant pay cut to take that job. Mm-hmm. And one of the owners was like, okay, well, this is what we can offer you. And I can't guarantee that you would get bonused here. So like, can you make this work? And it was just like, oh, okay, I guess so, you know? And so that was another shift financially where I was used to making really good money. And then I took this job because I wanted to have a different type of like quality of life, and it was closer to home. And I thought I'd have like more freedom to do another type of work, but also less stressful. I didn't have to bill for my time. But that was a whole other type of stress, you know, working in-house that, you know, is another story for another day. But yeah, that was something that we had to make adjustments as, you know, I started out as a 25-year-old making six figures, you know, I was like, oh, you know, this is cool.
That's good money.
This is good
money. Good money.
You know, and that was almost 20 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, and then also with the recession, thankfully I wasn't let go from my law firm, but we did take 20% pay cuts. So that was another shift where like you're used to making good money and now it's cut back. And then we got back up to a certain point, and then I took that pay cut moving to the general counsel position. And then of course, when I left there, when I was laid off, going to
nothing
and having to build my way up. And one of the phenomenal things that is really not common when we talk about starting your own business is we've consistently grown. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've started and we've built up, and you know, that's been such a huge blessing, because you never know what's going to happen. It's a big question mark when you start your own thing.
It is. Yeah. That's the thing with Vegas is we had a motto growing up: when you find good people, hang on to them.
Yes.
Cause there are a lot of people in Vegas that come in and out. Mm-hmm. And how was that for you learning how to, I guess, like, you didn't have to do client acquisition before, and you don't really in a traditional sense do sales, but you do your wine and wells events,
right,
and you're out a lot meeting people. What was that journey like in the first couple of years?
You know, it's funny because I'm not naturally someone that's like extroverted or an extrovert. Yeah. And that surprises a lot
of
people.
Fun fact about Shane. Right? I'm looking at the camera. You wouldn't know that.
Yeah. You know, like, just kind of taking a step back. Like, when I was young, when I was little, elementary school, when you'd have to give like presentations in class, it would make me sick to my stomach. Like, I would actually fake sick to stay home so that I wouldn't have to go and stand up in front of a classroom, my classmates. And so that was one fear that I had, just like being in front of people and speaking. And that kind of carried with me throughout. As I matured a little bit, I would just kind of push myself out of that comfort zone. And so when I would have to have speaking responsibilities, I would usually raise my hand first to get it over with. And that's something that I told my kids. I'm like, you know what? Always go first, because you usually get a better grade because you're volunteering, number one, and you know, you're like the first, so you're setting the bar. And so like, that's kind of where I started. And then even going to law school, I did not want to be a litigator. I did not want to be in front of a judge, mm-hmm. having to argue, do oral arguments. I wanted to be a corporate lawyer, I thought, you know, or some, you know, transactional lawyer, behind the scenes. And when I started my firm, I had to completely shift into a different space. And it's still uncomfortable for me, you know, sometimes, you know, doing things, but I've gotten more comfortable with it because I've done it, you know, more mm-hmm. frequently. And I found that it's such a great way to connect, you know, such a great way to be able to share my story, my mm-hmm. experiences, to educate people. That's the huge thing when it comes to estate yeah. planning, you know, because there's so much misinformation out there. There's so many myths, you know, and people that are being guided in the wrong direction. Yeah. So I think that's kind of what spurred it for me. I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, this is how I have to do it. You know, I have to, this is my community. I have to be out there. I have to be engaging. I have to be sharing this information yeah. with every opportunity that I have. And one of the things that's been so great is because I grew up here, because of the community that's here, I have relationships with people that I've had for years mm-hmm. and also new relationships that, you know, have come to be able to support. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, supporting it, what I do and sharing, you know, just like how you do, you know, how you share about what I do and, you know, based on your personal experience and other things, that's really one of the benefits of having my firm is the support that yeah. we have.
Yeah. And the support that you give, mm-hmm. I will say this, we have a few minutes to close and will you come back?
Yeah.
We'll keep this conversation going. This is one of many. It's it is a community in Vegas, and once you're here and once you're in with the right people, mm-hmm. it's really fun, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of energy and there's a lot of give and take. And as a firm, I'll say this about you know, just as an acknowledgement to you, is when there aren't many female attorneys that are out the same way that you are saying, hey, mm-hmm. you know, we have a lot of male attorneys on TV mm-hmm. and you've taken the helm for women mm-hmm. to say, you know what, we can do this too.
Yeah.
Not only can we do this, but we're going to support each other. Mm-hmm. And you have this amazing group of women and now it's becoming bigger and bigger. We're like, yeah. hey, what's she up to? Right? What is she doing? We want to be a part of that. Yeah. But from hearing your story, which I so appreciate, thank you for mm-hmm. all your transparency. Hearing that you are who you are. Mm-hmm. And even though you have a certain profession, that's not going to change, like who you are for mm-hmm. people, who you are for your family, who you are for the community. And for someone who's thinking about what is your next step in life, mm-hmm. or someone who feels like they might be stuck in their own circumstances or stuck by the people that they're surrounded with, mm-hmm. what you started with the conversation is absolutely true, is that you've got to be willing to surround yourself by new people
yeah.
who really do have your best interest. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there are more people like that, like us in the right. world than not. Mm-hmm. And for women out there, I want you to hear that women like Shane exist mm-hmm. and her community is so kind and thoughtful and her family is so kind and thoughtful, and that we can be successful
yeah,
and we can do it together mm-hmm. and we can be kind. And we can give.
Yeah.
And so with just a couple of minutes left, I'll let you lean into that. Is there, you know, what are your thoughts about that for women who are listening to this show today?
Yeah. Well, I think especially as a mom of five daughters, I have a unique role, you know, they're looking at me. And so I want them to see women supporting each other and for them to support each other, you know, as sisters, and for us to continue to expand that. And that's the reason behind starting Women Decision Makers. And, you know, for those women that are here in Las Vegas, you know, we've got that community here. For those that are outside of Las Vegas, of course, we have things that we can do virtually, but I think it's finding that support, you know, finding that tribe, finding that circle of women that will be there, you know, yeah. to say your name in a room full of opportunities. You know, I hear that all the time. And that's what you want. You want people out there that are advocating for you, that are looking for opportunities, not just waiting for someone to say like, hey, do you need, or I'm looking for someone that does this or that. Like, no, like speaking up on others' behalves. Like that's how we lift each other up. And it's not about competition, you know, like when you succeed, you know, we all succeed. So it's about lifting each other up and really finding that support.
Agreed. Well,
I'm being told that we have to end the show,
which I really don't want to.
We can continue.
We will. Day. We will. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your story and all of the light that you are in the world. I can't wait to have you back and hear about where you're at even next year from now. Yeah. And if you're listening to Real Money, thank you for spending this hour with us. Thank you for contributing in the ways that you are, letting us know and sharing out, letting us know you're listening, sharing it out. Please do that. Give me and Shane a shout out on social media, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. Miss the opportunity to call in but have a question for Lisa regarding one of today's topics? You can send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. We will see you next time.